Hey guys, it's Tyler. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today where we talk faith, family, and focus in your life and your leadership. You know, juggling all of these things, it is so hard to keep track. Sometimes our heart can become so restless under the stress and the responsibility of all these facets of life. And that's why I wrote my book, Restless, Finding Rest in a Restless World. You can go to my website and get a free copy of that book, a free paperback copy of that book at tylerarobertson.com/restless. So if you haven't done that yet, head on over to my website and do that. Grab a free copy of that book, Restless, Finding Rest in a Restless World. And with that, let's dive into the episode. I've got it all under control. Famous last words, right? Especially in the area of food. You know, food can become an idol. And if we're not careful, what can happen is that we think, oh, we've got our cravings under control. We've got our appetite under control. And what happens is that the subtle sin of gluttony comes in the back door. And we begin to give in to every whim, every desire, every craving, every appetite. And before long, this feeding self, this honestly, this prideful and selfish attitude of just giving the flesh what it wants can pave the way into other sins and be detrimental in the life of a believer. Hey guys, it's Tyler. Welcome to the channel where we talk faith, family, and focus in your life and your leadership. And today we're talking about our cravings and our appetite, because this is really something, again, where we really don't like to talk to, especially in the Christian community. We don't like to talk about this little word called gluttony. We don't like to talk about our cravings or our appetites because we're scared where it's going to lead, right? We like to shun this topic by saying, oh, what about the adulterer? Or what about the murderer? And we look at all these quote unquote gross sins, but understand that these gross sins, these big quote unquote big sins are oftentimes formed because someone did not tell themselves no. You trace that big sin back. What is that really? It is someone who made consistent choices of saying yes to their flesh. They made consistent choices of giving themselves what they want, and eventually it led to something even more detrimental. And what I am talking about and what we're talking about today on the podcast is that if we're not careful, food can be one of those gateway things. It can be something that literally leads us into a life of sin simply because when it comes to our appetite and our cravings, we didn't learn to say no. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul was simply saying there that just because something is lawful for me and it's okay for me, like I'm not breaking a law doing this, doesn't mean that I'm going to do this. Doesn't mean that it's the best thing for me. And you know, that's the same way when it comes to food. Just because you can have it doesn't mean you should. Just because you're not breaking a law or just because, you know, you're not doing something that's, again, that gross sin and that nasty sin, doesn't necessarily mean that it is the best for you in the long run. So we must have some type of discretion. The Bible talks a lot about our relationship with food and talks a lot about our cravings. I mean, just a couple of things to mention. I mean, think about it for just a moment. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, what did God say? He said, literally, you can have everything in the garden except for the tree of knowledge and good of evil. We'll come back to that one in just a moment. But think about it. Jesus, he fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. The Bible even says he came into this world drinking and eating, right? He was made of flesh. And so that was a necessity for him. He attaches his remembrance of him. Hey, do this in remembrance of me. Do what? Well, the Lord's Supper. It's literally called the Lord's Supper or communion. And so understand, the Bible puts a high priority of what goes on around the table and what we actually put in our mouths. And going back to the first one that I mentioned, right, in Genesis, remember how this whole sin thing got started? It got started because someone did not control their appetite. Something looked good. She saw it looked good, and then she took. Right? She was tempted of Satan there in the garden. Eve was tempted of Satan in the garden, and she gave in to her desires. She gave in to what looked good. And the Bible even teaches us this, right? The lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the, I'm missing one, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, right? Those three things are working together, right? And we've got to be very careful. We've got to be careful what we look at. We've got to be careful what we desire. And we've got to be careful of this thing of pride, because out of those three avenues, there can be so much sin in the life of a believer. And Eve, what did she do? She saw and she obtained. She saw and she ate. She did not control her appetite. She did not control her craving. And what ultimately was the result of that? Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. She gave to Adam, and therefore we have a sinful world because of literally a temptation that came from food. So the practical question for us is, how do we control our desires? What are some practical things that can help us as believers walk in God's truth, right? Because we want to live a life that our appetite is under control. Our fleshly desires, the desires of this fleshly part of us that wants to sin, that wants to do wrong, that we keep it into subjection, as Paul says, we keep it under control. And how do we do that, especially when it comes to food? Well, here's a couple practical tips. The first way is to realize that you don't have to get full every single time that you eat. Now, this can be really hard if you grew up with a poor relationship with food, kind of like I did. I didn't really grow up with the best relationship with food. And so for me, if I was full, I was happy. It didn't matter what I was eating as long as it was full. And we got to be very careful of that. We've got to understand that just because we sit down to eat doesn't mean that we have to stuff ourselves like a Thanksgiving meal. And all of us have kind of been there before, right? Maybe it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. We go, we eat with family, and we get so full, we're miserable, right? And sometimes we feel like we have to fill ourselves up every single time that we eat. I think one of the best ways to understand that, am I keeping my appetite? Am I keeping my cravings in control? Is being able to eat a healthy portion and to be able to stop. To be able to say, I do not have to be full. This is enough for my body, right? And that's why fasting is so important. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. But look at this interesting study. One study suggests that people using a large bowl ate 77% more pasta than those using a medium-sized bowl. In another study, nutritional experts served themselves 31% more ice cream when given larger bowls and 14.5% more when provided with larger serving spoons. The sad part about this study was that most people did not even realize that they were what they were doing or how much extra they were eating. So understand, you do not have to be full every single time. You don't have to grab the big mixing bowl every time you go get cereal. Sorry for those who love the mixing bowl of Fruity Pebbles and Lucky Charms, but it's probably not the best thing for you, getting your 1,000% of sugar intake for the day right at the beginning of your day. Okay? You don't have to get full every single time that you eat. That's just a practical tip, but that's something that has definitely helped me in the long run. The second practical way that you can learn to control your appetite, and once again, we're talking more practical here than we are biblically. We've already looked at different things in our study of the wisdom of wellness, of biblically what the Bible talks about when it relates to our health. But we're talking more practically here. How can I control my cravings and control my appetite? Well, this second one is a big one, is get your hand out of the bag. Now, this is bad for me because I get the munchies. I love chips, okay? Any kind of chip that you can think of. I love to crunch. I love to munch. I love to do all of that. And you may be like me, but don't grab the whole bag of chips. This is so practical, but don't grab the whole bag. You know why? Because if you grab the whole bag, guess what's going to happen? You're going to eat, all right, all those chips until before long you go in to reach in that bag and there's nothing going to be in there. You know why? Because you ate it all. You didn't think. You were just watching the movie. You were just watching the game and you ate all of those chips in that bag. So get your hand out of the bag. And the sad reality is that potato chips is not really the best snack for you anyway. It can raise your blood pressure, increase your chances of heart disease, increase your risk of stroke. So when it comes time to have that snack, grab a small bowl. Get your hand out of the bag, put a small portion in there of whatever that munchy, crunchy snack is, and that will help you with your portion control. And the third way that can help you control your appetite and control your cravings, and this is again is a very practical one, but on the subject of portions, is to know your portions before you start cooking. So a lot of people, what they do is they get in the kitchen, like start throwing stuff in the pan, and they go good. They go to town. If you're like me, you leave a mess everywhere. Okay, your wife yells at you afterwards because you're like a creative. You're like Bob Ross, and you're just throwing all this stuff on the stove and a happy little pasta there and a happy little sauce there. Okay, you're doing all these things that and you're creating in the kitchen. And before long, you're like, holy cow, I just made food for like 15 people. And this is a house of five. So knowing your portion sizes before you start cooking is a great little tip that I believe will help you. And once again, not having to feel full, not having that extra. And so when you come to the end of your meal, you won't be tempted to grab that second plate. And the fourth tip is to find accountability. If you're truly going to control your cravings, I think one of the best things you can do is find accountability. It's to say, listen, let's get honest with yourself and say, I have a poor relationship with food. When I crave something sweet, I get it, right? When I crave a snack, I get it, right? The midnight snacking, the oversized portions. And maybe you just realize my relationship with food is not how it should be, and I'm starting to feel some of the effects of that, not just in my health, but in my pocketbook. I'm going to the doctor more. Okay, your numbers may be high in every area, in your weight, whatever the case may be. You may say, listen, I am seeing the effects of my poor relationship with food, and I need to find accountability. That's one of the best things you can do to control your appetite is say, hey, listen, can you keep me accountable when it comes to my portion sizes when we sit down to eat a meal? Or when it comes to the things that I actually eat, can you keep me accountable, keep me on the right path so that I can learn to why? So that I can learn to bring my body into subjection. And what's the whole purpose? Like, why do we even do all these things? And why do we want to control our appetite? It's simply because we want to glorify God in our minds and our hearts and our bodies. And so this starts with saying, I'm going to say no to my flesh and yes to the Holy Spirit of God within me. How do you do that? Well, you got to find some accountability. My wife and I, we love to help other couples in their health journey. Literally, we are on our health journey all of our own, and we just love to pass along the information and the transformation that we have experienced in our life. We love natural solutions and essential oils. There's a lot of people out there that are like, oh, essential oils, those are voodoo and all this stuff. And then they go to Walmart and grab this, like, you know, cream for their rash that they've got, and they don't even can't even pronounce half of the ingredients in it. But yet you tell them, like, this is actually lavender, like from a lavender plant. What else does it have in it? Well, lavender, that's pretty much it. And they're like, oh, no, no, that's witchcraft. And it's just really funny how we view certain things. But we love the natural solutions. We love the essential oils. That has been a huge part of our health journey and has helped us. But the biggest thing among all of that is just finding other couples and keeping each other, even in our marriage, in our home, accountable to one another. Why? So that we can control our appetites. And then lastly, I think one of the best ways to control your appetite is by fasting and praying. By fasting and praying. Now understand, don't lose the big picture here. Fasting and praying, a lot of times in our culture today, I truly believe this, that we focus more on the fasting part of it than we do the prayer part of it, right? We're like, how many days I'm going to fast? Am I going to tell people? Do I not? You know, that's a big thing. Do I tell people I'm fasting or do I not? A lot of times people are like, oh, you know, they're on, and I'm like, I'm on day 37 of my fast, and which I'm all about sharing your journey and all of those things. But a lot of times we love to focus on the fasting part because that has to do with our body. That has to do with our the outside and what people can see. Understand the point of prayer and fasting. When Jesus said this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting, Jesus was saying, listen, fasting helps you say no to your flesh, but praying helps you say yes to the Holy Spirit of God. And that yes is essential to living the life that God wants you to live. So don't lose sight of the big picture of prayer and fasting, but I do believe it is a wonderful way that keeps your body into subjection. It's a wonderful way to train your mind, to train your heart, to train your spirit, to say no. I honestly, in my own journey, fasting has been something that has been tough for me. It's kind of difficult for me. I grew up, once again, with kind of a poor relationship with food. And so for me, it was like, I fast and my mind automatically says, no, wait, you can't go without food. Like you need food for your survival. And because of that like survival mode or that survival mentality, when it comes to food, fasting has always been hard for me, but it's been something, one of the best things for me. And because it's taught me that I can be weak. Like I can physically be weak. I can physically go without if it means I have the strength of the Holy Spirit of God all my life. And so fasting and praying is one of the best ways to control your cravings, to control your appetites. These are just a couple of really practical tips that you can implement today to help control your appetite and your cravings. And so I want you to, in your faith, in your family, in your focus, to live the life that God wants you to live. And on your health journey, it starts with you saying no to you, saying no to your cravings, saying no to your flesh, and saying yes to the Holy Spirit of God. I hope these things have helped you. Until next time, my friends.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you want to read more articles, listen to more podcast episodes, or find more resources, you can go to tylerarobertson.com, tylerarobertson.com, and subscribe to all of that. We would love to have you as a part of our community as we grow in our faith, family, and leadership focus.